This is the Beat Your Genes podcast, and my name is Nate G. I created this podcast to bridge together the science of evolutionary psychology and the clinical experience of Dr. Doug Lyle, all so that we can discover what life is all about. In each episode, Dr. Lyle analyzes and explains the psychology behind real-life situations from our listeners on topics like romance, friendship, work, family, health, and many more. We broadcast live every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which means you can call us during the show and ask Dr. Lyle a question. The U.S. number is 657-383-0751, or send in your question through the website www.beatyourgenes.org.
All right, Dr. Lyle, how are you doing today?
Very good. Great to hear from you, Nate.
So today we're going to be talking about things that he says on dates versus what he actually means. Last week I had a really good time talking about what she says versus what she really means, and we had a lot of good feedback. People had a great time. A lot of my friends called and said they couldn't get enough of this. So you ready to talk about guys this time, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if we should tell them.
I know, we're going to give away some of these secrets here.
That's right. All right. Well, let's give it a roll. Let's have some fun.
All right. So this is an article I found on Cosmo Magazine by Frank Cabola. And he wrote a list.
Sounds like a genius already.
Genius. We're going to dissect just how right he really is. So, here we go. He wrote a little list of all the things that guys say. So let's just take it from the top. So when the guy's on a date and he says, "You know, I had a really late lunch, so I probably won't be getting anything too heavy." What he really means is, "This restaurant is way more expensive than I thought, and I'm hoping you won't order an entree." Okay. How's the audio right now?
Okay, that's better. Okay, so what he's really saying is it's more expensive than I thought.
Yeah, this restaurant is way more expensive than I thought, and I'm hoping you won't order an entree if I don't.
That is ludicrous. That is not what he's saying. And this is a guy, okay? No, I don't think so. This guy must be gay because he's not thinking like a heterosexual male. All right, what's actually happening is the guy is not impressed with the female's looks, right? So he's already realizing he's probably either not impressed or he's completely outclassed. And given the little narcissistic streak inside of a male, it's unlikely that he thinks he's outclassed. So actually, he's feeling like she's not fancy enough. This is not Parabon material for sure. And he doesn't mind leaking that if she manages to scrape up enough looks to be casual mating strategy interesting, he's not going to go overboard to try to earn it. If a guy is impressed with the female's looks from the jump, there is no way that this guy, unless he has zero class and walks around with his elbow in his soup, there is no way that this guy is stupid enough to signal to her that he does not want her spending money, okay? Because that's exactly what this anxiety is about. So I'll give the guy credit that money is an issue here, but money is only an issue when the male is not impressed with the female's appearance. If the male is impressed with his appearance, it's like, gee, let's go shopping at Tiffany's. What's your name again? Okay, so this is entirely clear what is actually going on here. When males do this, they're basically signaling to the female, not very into you, got to get through this thing, and yeah, I don't want to spend money. This is a nice restaurant that I invited you to because I was hoping that you were going to look good, and then I wanted to show you that I'd be willing to spend a lot of money on you. But now that I see that what you look like, forget it. And I'm going to signal to you that I'm not into you, so I'm not even going to eat, and that way we can get out of here quicker and I can get on the road back to Match.com. So that is actually what's taking place. So
that's hilarious.
There you go.
I can relate. You know what? A while ago, I had a similar situation where I walked in, and the girl that was going to meet me, I'd never seen her before, but we met online through social, like through the match.com type of thing. And when she walked in, it turned out she lied about her weight, not by 20 pounds, but like by 80 pounds.
Yeah.
And I sat there, and it was for like coffee or something. And I just remember feeling like, gosh, is $5 really something, like really this big of a deal to be getting upset about? And I actually was. I was like, I almost, but I ended up, you know, just being nice about it, and we walked around
right.
the block, you know. But I remember clearly thinking that feeling was present.
young man, let me tell you something. When you get as old as I do, it's never $5. It's always $100. And you walk in and you're like, there's another $100. But worse yet, it's a couple hours. And you know what? It was an hour to drive out here, and it's an hour. So there you go. All right. Yeah. That's what the real deal is.
All right.
Let's
so
go. Let's move on. What else we got?
All right. Number two. When he says, I'm an entrepreneur, what he really means is, I live at home and I'm currently unemployed, so I may or may not have sold drugs. I might actually be selling drugs right now.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty close. That is pretty close. The drug part is just there for fun. I'm an entrepreneur actually is such a fancy word that you're not going to get that out of the average high school graduate. So what it really means is, I have a college degree, but I can't get a job with it. So I'm considering actually having to walk on the wild side somewhere and maybe buy a Denny's, or no, actually that would be too expensive. A Subway sandwich, going in with my uncle on a Subway sandwich shop. That's what he's really thinking about. And, you know, God bless the kid. He hasn't found his way yet. So fair enough. Yeah, I think the guy got it pretty much right.
So this is a man's way of bluffing that they're actually much fancier than potentially they are.
Yes. It's a way of, yeah, that's exactly what it is. But it actually, it's slightly different than that. And that is that I don't think that anybody with just a high school education and nothing other than essentially blue collar prospects in front of them and blue collar expectations in front of them would ever use that word, that they're an entrepreneur. That's not in the working vocabulary of people that are below 100 IQ. So that word and that self-description is only going to come from people that are, you know, in the upper 25% of our society for intelligence. And so that person probably does have legitimate prospects, but they've got nothing to show for it at the moment other than maybe an idea and a direction that they're going. And so it is a bluff, but it's not entirely a bluff. That it's not without some reasoning behind it, and some legitimate ambition, and probably some chops. So they probably will not spend this life as an entrepreneur. They're going to wind up, you know, working for somebody at some point, and they are unemployed if they're saying that. But it's not total bluff. It's salvaging. Salvaging themselves in the cross-examination.
So it's almost like they're
which is what it is to be talking to a female. If you're talking to a female, you're being cross-examined. And you are not being seen as a prospect. You're seen as a suspect. And that's what's actually taking place. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So when they say they're actually current, what he's basically saying is, I'm unemployed, but I really don't want to be, and I'm trying to not to be.
Right. And I'm considering going into business with my for myself. And there may be a way for me to pull that off, and I've got some ideas. That's kind of what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. But, all right, but, number three.
But they're at a cheap place.
Okay, number three. When he says, you know, I normally eat pretty healthy, but I think I'm going to make today a cheat day. What he really means is, I do this every day.
Yeah, actually, and there's something a little more to it, actually. And what that is that he's embarrassed about it. So otherwise, he wouldn't even be thinking about it. So what's happening there is that individual, in all probability, is – you know, 10 pounds fat overweight or more. And so there's some reason for them to be embarrassed. If the guy is lean and fit and he eats trash, he's not too embarrassed about that. Unless he's a well-known health speaker type of a person, at which point he may have to be covering his tracks. Okay. So, at any rate, I would say that anybody that would say that has a health conscious, has a degree of health consciousness that is not typical. And so it's probably, they may not do a very good job in their health behavior, but they are not cheating every day. In other words, they're not being totally disregarding their health. They've got a health conscience there that's percolating, but they are not typically living up to the standards that they've set for themselves, and they're a little embarrassed about it, and that's what's taking place.
Mm-hmm. So if I've ever walked into a donut shop and I was standing in line, you know, waiting to get a treat for myself, and in comes Alan Goldhammer or John McDougall or Jeff Novick or maybe even you, then this is where we're all going to look at each other and say, well, what are you doing here? Well, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I'll tell them that I was there to sell them some insurance. Yeah, I'll come up with something. Or I'll say, I was following you in here, actually. I saw you in the parking lot. I was at the Office Depot across the street. All right, let's go on.
Okay, next one. When he says, you know, I'm not looking for anything serious, what he means is, I'm just here to have sex with you, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not here for anything serious. I think that i.e. casual mating strategy. So a lot is being said there, and it's important for the female to listen. And that is that the guy can act as if, hey, you know, I'm at a period of my life, just coming out of my divorce, or just had a breakup, and, you know, I'm really not looking for anything serious. Now, let's talk about why that has an air of legitimacy and why it is that a man or a woman hearing something like that from somebody else could give that some credibility in a way that is dangerous to give a credibility to. The credibility that they can be giving them is the sense that if we've been in a long-term relationship for a while, for example, and we're now out of it and we're, quote, not looking for anything serious, what we're basically saying is, I'm not calibrated to the marketplace. You know, I was married 10 years or I was in a relationship for the last 5 years, and I don't know now what my circumstances are relative to the opportunities in the marketplace for me. So I am now in a casual mating mode, but that doesn't mean that I'm a Machiavellian, you know, target hunting jerk. That just means that, you know, you can't take it personally, but I am in casual mating strategy mode because I'm not going to settle down with the first person that I trip into. I need to sort of survey the market. So if you're in that circumstances too, or you can hang with that, this is a male signaling to a female that if they get into a sexual relationship, he is saying, don't count on me sticking around, okay? And I warned you. I gave you fair warning. Now, the reason why – so in other words, this is actually – can be some clever deep cover. because this guy may be pretending like he could be a more committed type of a person than the partner, and she may, in fact, qualify as an outstanding individual. But the truth of the matter is that he's, quote, just not in the right space for that right now, given his local recent history, okay? Now, that is quite a smokescreen in a sales job that I've watched perpetrated on people, and it's dangerous for the female because the female can get into a casual mating strategy situation that she might not ordinarily get into because she feels like the guy is really would really be a pair bond type of a person, and he might be playing pair bond strategy if he found the right woman, i.e. her, and so therefore it is a worthy risk. But here's what I will tell you. 29 times out of 30, at least, that is not what is actually going on. When the male says, I'm not looking for anything serious right now, because of this, that, or the other, if he gives you any explanation, what he really says is, you're not that hot. Okay? You're not that hot. You're not that interesting. You don't qualify for pair bond strategy. You're either not good looking enough, not smart enough, not young enough, you know, not this, not that enough, whatever it is. You don't qualify for pair bond strategy. I'm not going all in on you. Okay? And therefore, that is loud and clear. That is what he's actually saying. Now he's going to cover it up with what I call the octopus. He's going to put ink all over the water so you can't see him. And he's going to say, yeah, I've just been through this and I've been through that, or I've been through this huge project at work for the last 3 years and, you know, it's just been totally devoting my time. Whatever. This is storytelling. Okay? The truth of the matter is, if the female pays attention, you can read this one in Braille, okay? He's saying he's not that into you right now, and be warned that all you are is a casual mating strategy target. And if that's not what you're not interested in and you don't like those odds, get out. That's what I would say.
Now, a couple of shows back, we talked about what is the over-rewarding strategy for males and females. For males, what the over-rewarding strategy is casual mating strategy with a female that is more attractive than he is by far. And that's, in fact, what pornography is a casual mating strategy, right, with very, very hot females. Whereas with females, you were saying, right, the over-reward system for females is chick porn, which is trying to win the favor of a very, very attractive male who chooses her over some other girl.
Right, i.e. commitment strategy. So chick porn is commitment strategy for a male that's fancier than you. And male porn is female would engage in casual mating strategy even though she's fancier than you. So this is exactly how pornography works. That's what it is. That's what 50 Shades of Grey is. Okay, so that's you know, that's what that is, and that's what the 800 million novels that are consumed in the United States, romance novels of the year, essentially entirely by females, all with the same plot, that the male is fancier than they are, but they manage to win him anyway. That is the plot theme. And they are not interested in him for casual mating. In fact, they're the good girl that has to compete with some bitch, okay, that's better looking than they are, but doesn't have as good a character that he's actually already, has his designs on or has already been successful with. And so our girl is the better person, but maybe 10% less good looking, but she's got this wonderful, fantastic character that he discovers in the process here. And he then decides, he finds surprisingly to himself that he's got some pair bond circuits in there he didn't even know he had. And he, quote, falls in love with the fabulous inner beauty of our, you know, 8 3/4 female, and he's a 10. So that is the essentially universal plot theme of female porn. It is just as predictable and essentially just as insipid as the plot theme of male porn, which is that average-looking guy walks into a pizza shop and three great-looking you know, women behind the counter start taking off their clothes and want to have sex with them. I mean, that's both of them are equally absurd and never happen.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking if I ever write some erotica, I think I'm gonna put this type of strategy in there. You know, with all these fancy words that you're talking about, pair bond strategy,
sure.
and all the vasopressin and all this stuff, and let's see how many people get hot and heavy about it.
Sure. We'll sell like 3 copies. My mom will buy one, and you know what I mean. We'll get rich.
My mom will buy one, but she won't admit it.
Yeah, that's right. All right. What else we got?
All right, next one. When he says, you know, I'm really tired and I have a big day tomorrow. What he really means is I'm putting this date out of its misery right now.
Yeah. If he's tired, believe me, you have in you adrenaline capacity to stay up for, you know, maybe 48 hours if the Romans are attacking your fort. And so any male that is impressed with a female that he's meeting is not tired. I don't care what he's just been through. So again, the signal is you don't qualify, not interested, and that's that. Very straightforward signal.
Now this is different though, for like first date versus like 10th date or 20th
yeah.
date, where the guy's legitimately
totally
got
different.
Something. Yeah, okay.
Completely, yeah, we're talking about first date signaling. Yeah, that's a completely different issue than once people have already been vetted and there's already been acceptance. That's a completely different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It
all right. Next
on
one.
When this happens, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for example, let's suppose we're talking 3 weeks in and it's date 6. That is a bad sign. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't expect to be seeing that out of a really interested male in date six. I had a friend of mine that this happened to after about date 4, and the guy was quote tired and needed to go to sleep. And I said, guess what? You've just been dumped. Okay. And of course I was right. She called me kind of concerned. What does this mean? Well, that's what it means. So obviously, 3 months in, it's an entirely different story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would suck to have somebody, you know, end a relationship because they're like, I'm really tired. I have a big surgery tomorrow morning. And they go, oh, okay,
yeah.
Well, too bad.
That's it. Yeah. All right. What else we got there?
All right, next one. When he says, you know, I've been so busy with work recently, what he really means is, I hope you're cool with seeing me once a month at the most.
Yes. Yes. This is a guy that is sort of looking to put this person into a casual mating strategy type situation. I have seen rare exceptions to this. I have a friend of mine 30 years ago. Was hyper conscientious, like one of the most conscientious people I've ever met in my life. This is a guy, he's a psychologist, obviously we're all psychologists, and he once neglected to ask a patient whether they were suicidal, and he ran out into the parking lot after them to ask them. All right. So this just sort of gives you a little flavor for how fastidious this guy was. So this guy met the lady that would become his wife, and they met, and there was a very quick chemistry, even on date one. They worked with each other, and then he asked her out. And anyway, long story, they go out on this date, and it's going really well. And he says, just so you know, I'm in the middle of my dissertation, and I'm not going to have a lot of time for a relationship.
Oh God!
this is not.
That's how conscientious he is.
Okay? Yeah, this is a very unusual character, and he did this. And you know, of course, it's been a standing joke for 30 years that this was his charming, you know, introduction here. But to her credit, like all these other signals are there. And all the other signals, there's no evidence in this guy's behavior otherwise, other than saying, look, I'm under the gun here, and this is a big deal in my career. And, you know, she also had gone to the same university, Vance University, and knew that a doctoral dissertation was a very big deal. So that's the only time I've ever heard that story make sense. Otherwise, forget it. You're being shunted into casual mating strategy, and it's basically, you know, don't bother me, don't count on pair bond activity, because I'm going to see if I can fit you in where it's convenient for me. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
yeah.
All right,
sound
number
right?
Seven. Yeah, it does.
yes.
All right, number seven. When he says, gosh, you know, all my ex-girlfriends are pretty crazy, what he really means is, I'm a big piece of shit.
Yes. I would say that there's a lot of truth in this, and it's worth listening to. This is useful for both males and females. When people do a bunch of complaining about their ex or exes, even a single ex, if they go out on a date with you and then they start, you know, they start waxing on about their ex-wife or ex-husband, and they have a bunch of negative things to say, just consider that a major red flag right in your face. Now, of course, there's exceptions, but I would say that those exceptions are exceedingly rare. The truth is, anybody that does that is breaking all kinds of appropriate social boundaries. You're a stranger. You don't know anything about them. You have no possible way to assess or adjudicate whether or not they're being accurate or they're being, you know, self-serving. And the fact that they are so frustrated about this, and they are processing their frustration about other potential partners, is essentially telling you that they have not received confirmation from the village that this is true, and that they are frustrated, and they have an open loop in their head behind the esteem dynamic between them and their mating village, and that they're upset. And so this tells me that essentially that they are a disagreeable animal that sees things from a skewed perspective on fairness, and they feel like the world has cheated them. In this case, in this particular arena that we're talking about, is going to be the mating arena. And that it's also unfair and unreasonable, and how, you know, how could it possibly be that, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this is the insignia of the disagreeable human being. And so I have to tell you, even mild versions of this are a problem. And so if someone is mildly signaling this way, then you can consider that they are above average for disagreeable. Agreeable people would never pull a stunt like this. It's just not in their, it's not in their DNA. So the, I wouldn't put it quite the way this person puts it. It isn't necessarily that they're a horrible human being, but it does mean that they are a problematic human being for relationships. The most conflicted potential relationships on earth are romantic relationships. The reason why this is true, long-term romantic relationships actually have more potential areas of conflict of interest than any other kind of relationship than you can have. And as a result of that, they are strained and tested over time in a way that is more stressful than other types of relationships. And as a result of that, you had better, if you're picking somebody, you better pick somebody that with a lot of agreeable and a lot of stable and a lot of conscientiousness. Those should be three very important factors that you are considering. If you want an interesting insight, you Nate are too young, and so you probably will not remember this. I don't know if did you ever see the movie Forrest Gump?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. Well,
I'm not
Gump
that young.
You're pretty young. Forrest Gump is a masterpiece. Forrest Gump is one of the finest movies ever made. And Forrest Gump, among all the other things that happened in Forrest Gump, which is supposed to be a sort of a a perspective of American history through that period of time. There is something else and an incredible story that is sitting underneath Forrest Gump. And that is the story of a young man who is extremely stable, he is extremely agreeable, and he is extremely conscientious, even though he's mentally retarded. So Forrest Gump is sitting, you know, right at the second percentile for IQ. He's very, very limited in his mental abilities. But he is extraordinary in these other three personality characteristics. And as a result, we recognize that he's in fact an outstanding human being. And so do the people close to him. And they love him. And you will see in the acting, which is so beautifully done, Robin Wright, and also I don't know who plays Captain Dan, who is his big, great friend through the years, that these two actor and actress, they see this. And of course they feel tremendously protective of Forrest because of his limitations, like he's their child. So they feel very loving and protective towards his, you know, tremendous limitations. But at the same time, they feel extraordinary admiration for his extraordinary character strengths. And so it's this interplay between their loving protection of his limitations versus their admiration for his extraordinary strengths. You play out a human being that is beloved and that you have great admiration for. And so that is a in this way, that is a movie that anybody that is looking for to try to understand romance, that's a movie worth seeing as you're watching those three characteristics in play. And you want to have those, you know, I don't know anybody that's Forrest Gump, but I don't know anybody that outstanding characterologically, but you want hints of Forrest Gump in your partner. And if you're looking, you'll find it.
So the characteristics we're looking for, I mean, are basically agreeableness, conscientiousness, and stability.
Go ahead.
For the guy who basically happens to fall into all the crazy ex-girlfriends,
right.
is he just more flaky, meaning he ends up lying, and so it's a normal reaction for a female to, quote, go crazy?
Well, yeah, there's all that to it. The truth of the matter is, as we talked about a couple times ago, that people wind up generally with people often somewhat similar to themselves. And that's because that's all they can afford. So beautiful people wind up with beautiful people. Smart people wind up with smart people. Conscientious people wind up with conscientious people. And agreeable people, however, can wind up with disagreeable people because they're agreeable. Okay. Now, there are places, in other words, people sort of compromise and play with these like they're poker chips. And this is all part of the optimization program of human romantic dynamics. But what I'm trying to explain to people is that you should look very carefully at these characterological issues, and particularly conscientiousness and kindness. Those are conscientiousness is going to be probably the most important thing that you can look at. Someone can be an SOB, but if they're your SOB, if they're disagreeable but very conscientious, then, you know, they can be really useful, all right? And so, and as long as they're not so disagreeable that you can find your way to trade with them, if you're sufficiently agreeable, they may be a 70-30 trader, but if you're a 30-70 trader, you can reach largely equilibrium with them and be reasonably happy. Now, I would tell you that if I was a 30-70 trader, way better off to find some guy that's a 50-50 trader. If you find a guy that's a 50-50 trader and you're a 30-70, you'll have almost no conflicts between the two of you. And he's reasonably assertive, but reasonably kind. The danger is you pick what you think is a 70-30 and it turns out they're a 75-25. And they're just chiseling into you all the time and it's nothing but conflict. So I would say, and remember, that people at the beginning of relationships are generally more kind than they are going to be 90 days later. So they are signaling, the reason why they're doing this is that what kindness is effectively is signaling energies that you would expend on someone's behalf, and how easy you are to, for example, if I agree that we can go to any movie that she wants to go to, what I'm basically saying is I'm willing to expend my time and energy on a movie I may not be very interested in because you're interested in. So that's an example of this sort of sacrificial quality that's going to come very naturally to people early in a relationship, because they're trying to essentially indicate that their cost-benefit ratio in the relationship is better than it really is. Okay, this is what this is. And so people are going to over-signal kindness, and they're going to over-signal stability, and they're going to over-signal conscientiousness. They're going to essentially our guy that said, you know, this is just my cheat day, you know, I don't normally, et cetera. He's over-signaling his conscientiousness. And so we should be on alert for these things, because we want those people to have these solid characteristics in sufficient amounts that it's not really close. Okay. And our guy that is so upset with the women, the truth of the matter is that, you know, he has done many things to cause those emotional reactions in the women. There's been many reasons why there's been turbulence in the relationships. And the primary reason why there's been such turbulence is because he and they, but particularly him, if there's a string of them, has over-signaled his character strengths and has essentially oversold them. And they have been disappointed, and they've had to get out of those relationships, or they've had to be very upset to try to negotiate back what they thought they were getting. And it turned out that it didn't work out, and we have a string of upset people on our hands. And the reason is that those characterological traits are not sound. That's the issue.
Yeah, it reminds me, I one time ordered takeout food, and on the website, the menu price was like one price. And I got there, and they gave me not only the wrong food, but they gave me a more expensive food. And at first I was like, wait, but you're giving me something I didn't sign up for. I thought it was like this, but it's actually the other way. And I wasn't that irritated, but I also wasn't that, you know, happy about it. This sounds like philosophically the same thing.
That actually you're being told it's better than it is, and it's, you know, it's not. Is that what you're trying to say? Yes. Yeah, people are bluffing, and this is the old story of, you know, some woman's actually coyote ugly. I have a friend of mine that has a story that is unbelievable. Okay, this is I cannot tell this story accurately. This apparently happened in, I think it was Phoenix. He was a rock and roll drummer, and as you can imagine, a rock and roll drummer, if he's an average rock and roll drummer, he's had quite a bit of casual mating strategy in bars over his career. Anyway, so this guy has.
I hate him already.
He had quite an extraordinary history with the females of the world. And oftentimes, and he wasn't particularly discriminating. And so, as they say in the famous paper by Jimmy Pennebaker at SMU, that all the girls in the bar get prettier at closing time. This is a statistically proven phenomenon in human psychology, and so this guy winds up in some woman's apartment in Phoenix, and apparently she had not only when the wig came off and the teeth came out.
Oh my God!
There was also a false leg that was attached to her at the hip. So coyote ugly is when you chew your arm off to get out of there so that she doesn't know that you're leaving. So there is false advertising all over this arena, and be patient, everybody.
All right, well, speaking of on to the next one. When he says, "Oh, you haven't seen that movie? I have it at my place. You've got to come over and see it, like right now."
There you go.
What he
sure,
really
that,
means is
that means,
let's come. Yeah.
Of course. What he means is you absolutely qualify for at least casual mating strategy. And actually, I'm not even going to try to be very subtle about it. And so that's that. That's exactly what that is. There's no, he's not interested in educating you about that movie. Unless it's me. That is something that I might do. I might do that if there's a particularly excellent movie that might prove one of my philosophical points.
Nice try, Dr. Lyle.
I've never tried that. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
I've never done it either. Ever. Ever.
Yeah. There you go. All right. What else we have?
Okay, be once. Okay.
All right.
So when he says, you know, I had a great time last night, I just don't think I'm looking for a relationship right now. What he really means is, I didn't really have a great time last night.
Yes. You know, these are sort of touchy problems. And when people meet, most of the time, almost always, somebody doesn't qualify. And the problem is that, you know, this gets to be this dicey issue of qualify for what. So the females are almost always looking for pair bond strategy out in the male. If a female is willing to roll behind casual mating strategy, if she's interested in casual mating strategy, she's generally pretty impressed with some highly specific things that are activating lust cues, usually not higher order brain centers. It's interesting that our sexuality is actually divided up into different neural circuits. So physical bodily characteristics activate lust, but the human being isn't isolated to there. It also wants to do an assessment of not only intelligence but also personality characteristics. So you can think about the very admiring, loving feelings that can start to border on sexuality towards people that you think are fabulous humans. Okay, particularly if they're borderline with respect to physical characteristics. So, a man that is below a woman's threshold for physical attractiveness, but not super below that threshold, if it turns out he's an outstanding human or does an outstanding deed showing extraordinary character, you can see her having some feelings that feel like she wants to be close to him and actually even express physically love and admiration for him. And then once you get that close, it can start to activate sexual psychology along with those things. But she was not looking at him and feeling lusty. She was feeling lusty towards the guy with the big shoulders and the cool looking haircut, okay, and the tattoo. So this is the difference. These are different areas of the brain, and they're actually running different programs that are sometimes integrated and sometimes not integrated. Now, so in this scenario where the guy is saying, i.e., I'm not looking for a relationship, like hell he's not looking for a relationship. If he's not in a relationship, he would dearly love to have a pair bond qualifier that he would qualify for. That is characteristic of human psychology. He would also be very interested in someone who qualifies for casual mating strategy that he could get away with it, okay? If he could somehow stick his foot in that tar pit and pull it out of there, he would do it if he could. So, however, there's sufficient honesty in our species that very often males will look at a situation and basically say the following: that you are a fine human being and you're a good, what I would consider a conscientious, i.e. real decent person. And even if you qualified for casual mating strategy, that is not, I know not what you're up to, and that's not what you want. And that is the only thing that you qualify for me. And so I'm not even going to sell it. Okay. I'm just going to tell you, I'm really not looking for a relationship right now. And it is, It is more respectful to do that than it is to try to take a shot at a casual mating strategy and essentially try to play a really solid female who's playing pair bond into that net. So these are delicate issues. There is nothing more personal in the world than whether or not who it is that you are is attractive to another person for a relationship, particularly when you would be interested. There's nothing more personal. People will say, don't take it personally, but there's really no other way to take it. The truth is that they have looked at you, they have listened to you, they have watched you, they have smelled you, and they have vetted you, and they have determined that you do not qualify, okay? If they qualified or you're interested, it's going to hurt your feelings, okay? It can hurt your feelings even if they don't qualify, okay? So these are times for tact, and so therefore, you know, this is the kind of a way to ink up the water a little bit is to say, essentially, nobody would qualify. Angelina Jolie would not qualify, okay? I am not looking for a relationship right now, and it wouldn't matter who it was. That is the ink that the guy is throwing in the water, attempting to be as kind as possible as he says goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Last one we have is when he says, crazy weather we're having, aren't we? What he really means is, I have no idea what to say. Please help me, God. I don't know. I don't know what topic to start on.
Yes, I suppose so. Yeah, he better be hustling pretty quickly, or he better have some handsome to him, or he's in trouble. The it's the man's job to. The way the dynamics of this species works is as follows, that the females are designed by nature to actually figure out what's inside the male's head. They want to know what his motivations are, and they want to know what his capabilities are. They want to know what his motivations are with respect to them, whether they are trying to play them for pair bond or casual mating strategy. And they also want to know all about this male. If this male, they may not have decided as they sit down to dinner whether this guy qualifies or not. It's very likely that this guy may not qualify physically. And so as a result of this, in other words, he doesn't qualify from the jump because females are muted in their essentially lust activation, whereas the males are not muted. So the male sits down and his task is to expose who it is that he is to the cross-examination of the female. This is why, for example, we will generally find in these situations where the males are doing a tremendous amount more of the talking than the females. If the males are not doing more of the talking, if the females are doing a bunch of the chattering, then an interesting reversal is taking place, that the female is probably worried about qualifying, and she's anxious about it, it could be that she's just a personality chatty Cathy, but it's more likely that she's feeling the anxiety and is essentially trying to qualify, which is actually a very good sign if you're the male on the other side of this. But most of the time, the male does most of the verbal production, and the woman is essentially doing the following thing. She's walking through his mind. Okay, she's analyzing his character. He is essentially trying to sell it as well as he can, but it's going to be vetted. She's going to figure it out. And if he can't come up with something better than the weather, unless she herself is adult, he's in a lot of trouble.
So, Dr. Lyle, what is share with us, without revealing too many of your secrets, what's something?
Yes.
What's the first thing you talk about when you meet somebody for the first time?
Well, you know, if there's 50 women that I have met on Match.com over the last 15 years, if we could get them in a room, they would all crack up, okay? And let me tell you why. First of all, the only way I was ever going to get a date is if they were really smart, Okay, only the really smart ones are the only ones that I have a shot at. So so I'm meeting smart people, and those smart gals, we'd sit down, and I recognize that my best shot is going to be to smell this, to actually sell this what's in my head. So I do what's called the Doug download, that was named by one of my friends. And the download is kind of what you're getting tonight. We're going to just go through this thing. We're going to understand man-woman dynamics. We're going to understand the big five in personality. We're going to understand the difference between males and females and their motivation. We're going to understand why it is that human beings like to look out at ponds and trees and intermittent water cues, et cetera. In other words, we're going to explain human nature. And this is the Doug download. And this is it results in fascinating conversation as the females listen with their eyes wide open, kind of laughing like, I can't believe what this guy is saying. I have made many great friends as a result of this. I've had a lot of them. I had one woman say, you know what? I've actually just been thinking about whether or not I should go with this this guy that I, you know, whether I should pursue a relationship with this guy that I've been dating for 2 years. I've been finally getting frustrated, and I decided to go on Match.com a little bit. But now, as we work this out, analyzing his character and everything, I think I should just go for it.
So you talked yourself out of a job.
I talked myself out of a job, but she was she felt good about it. And actually, she was excited. She wanted me to meet a bunch of her girlfriends, and they wanted to meet not to date me, but they all wanted to have a little seminar.
You know, just so, coming from the salesman side of things, you should probably learn how to palm read, and then you'll be set.
Yes, I learned way too late in life that what I really needed to have done was to learn how to play the guitar. That was what I really needed to learn how to do, but that didn't happen. It's too late, so we're stuck with the Doug download, and that's how that goes. Yeah, actually, the girl I was with for 10 years, wonderful woman, she got the Doug download on the first date, and I pick restaurants that I know have Italian restaurants typically will have or often will have a paper tablecloth that goes over the top of the paper, off of the top of the tablecloth. And so I always want that, and I bring a nice pen, and then I write all over the tablecloth with arrows, and I explain everything about human nature as I draw the arrows from personality to general human natural motivation, Africa, the migration of humans out of Africa across, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm drawing this whole thing. And I've had more than one, as we got up, stare at the paper and desperately want the paper because they really didn't want a second date, but they wanted the information. I have had about half a dozen of them actually with an episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
No,
with
hold
an
on.
Assertiveness. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Half
continue. A dozen with an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's up?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I want you to finish.
Yeah. I said I've had enough. I have had about half a dozen that have enough assertiveness that they actually pulled up the paper and folded up, put it in their purse. So that is actually.
And the rest?
The rest?
Like, did you say no? No, this is only available if you pair bond with me.
Yeah. Actually, there was, you know, several times. So a few times I didn't care, but a few times I was like, oh, that's too bad. That's what I said. You don't need to do that. You know, we can go out again. Oh, yeah, I know. But this is just so interesting. So that's how that works.
That's priceless.
Such is life from this. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, subscribe, write us a review, or share this podcast with a friend. To send in a question or read more about the show, you can visit our website at www.beatyourgenes.org. Until next time. This is Nate G. and Dr. Lyle with Beat Your Genes, an evolutionary psychology podcast for finding happiness in the modern world.